Today, the Supreme Court heard arguments in a case between critics and supporters of public sector unions. At issue is whether unions can collect some mandatory fees from non-union members. A group of California teachers says those fees violate their First Amendment rights because they disagree with union positions on political matters. Emily Bazelon is staff writer for The New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Well, and tell us, first of all, about this case and what's at issue here. What are these fees?
These are fees that public sector unions charge to people who they represent in collective bargaining, but who don't want to support the union politically. So they're called agency fees or fair share fees. And the idea is that even if you're someone who doesn't support the politics of the union, you're still benefiting from the pension benefits or salary deals that the union negotiates for you.
And when you say politics of the union, you're probably talking about Democratic politics, supportive of Democratic candidates who are probably in turn supportive of the unions.
Right. That is the kind of core political activity of a lot of public sector unions. And the question in this case is whether that's a separate part of what a union does, that those politics are separate from negotiating the collective bargaining agreement. The people who don't want to pay these fees to the union say, well, everything the union does is political. I don't want to support them at all.
The teachers in this case are backed by the Conservative Center for Individual Rights. How successful have union critics been in fighting union influence?
In a lot of states, they've been very successful. There's been a real drive for what are called right-to-work laws. In states like Wisconsin, the states have already forbidden unions from charging these kinds of fees to people who don't want to join them. And so the question in this case is whether that push, which so far has been state by state, would become national.
What kind of arguments are the advocates of the unions making?
The advocates for the unions argue that there's a free rider problem here if people are not required to pay these fees. And so in essence, you'd have a union representing some percentage of all the teachers in California in this case. And then the people who didn't want to pay their fees to the union would still get the benefit of all the negotiating. So you'd be weakening the union and just creating a problem where some people who benefit get to free ride off of other people.
And are the people who say that a decision in this case against the unions could really crush unions across this country, are they making too much of that, or is that realistic?
You know, I think this case really is a very big deal. In the last several years, public sector unions have become the majority of union members nationwide. We used to have a country in which private sector unions matter more, but now that has flipped. And so a ruling that could seriously weaken the ability of unions to collect fees in its basically 23 states in the country that so far have more union-friendly laws, that's a big deal.
There is a 1977 case involved here. Tell us about that, Abood versus Detroit Board of Education, and how that fits into this.
Well, that's the case in 1977 in which the Supreme Court allowed for this kind of fee requirement that is being challenged here. So this is a precedent in which the court said, yes, unions can collect this money from non-members. And the court accepted this distinction between the political activity of a union and the collective bargaining activities. And so in order to rule in favor of the challengers here who want to get rid of these union fees, the court has to overturn that old precedent. Usually the Supreme Court is reluctant to overturn big, important cases like that. But in this case, a couple of years ago, in another union-related case, the five conservative members of the court made it pretty clear that they don't really like Abood, this 1977 decision.
Interesting. So it's unusual for a case to come back up, but I guess somebody decided out there that it made sense to try to bring it back up with this court, thinking that they might actually win.
Exactly. I mean, this is a case that, as you said, has been brought by a conservative public interest law center, and it's very much tailored to directly to asking the court to overrule Abood and change the law.
Is this going to be one of the biggest cases of the year?
It will be. I mean, it has some competition because there's a big abortion case on the court's docket, and possibly the court may take a big case about President Obama's immigration policy. But in terms of practical import for the country and affecting people's lives, this question of union membership is huge.
And which way do you think the court will go?
you know, when you look at the case from 2 years ago and the skepticism conservatives were expressing about requiring people to pay these fees to unions, it does not look so good for the unions. And just to give it its due, the argument here is that it's a First Amendment free speech argument, that the people who don't want to pay these fees shouldn't be compelled to pay for the political speech of the union. And then on the other side, as I mentioned before, there's this free rider problem. So it's really about competing values, and the conservatives on the court at least look like they're poised to take this free speech value and say that it matters more than union strength and membership and our democracy.
That's Emily Bazelon, a staff writer for The New York Times Magazine and fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, we'll be watching. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.